I spoke to Cookie over the weekend, and I appreciated the call, and enormously respectful of the process that they're going through. But I'm sticking to what I said, you know, 6 or 8 weeks ago, that I need a spell. I've only got 2 years. That's flat out or stop. I'm just not ready to go flat out again right now. I couldn't respect two clubs greater than Collingwood and Carlton in terms of and the lure to coach those clubs is just like, is right sitting there right in front of your face. Do you want to put your hand up to see whether you'd be selected to coach those sides? But it wasn't strong enough to overpower my thinking in terms of what my family and I need right now, and that's 12-month spell. Now, in that 12 months, I'm quite serious when I've said this throughout the course of the year, I might find out that I can't recharge the batteries and I don't want to go again, or I think probably it's in my DNA to want to coach again at the end of next year or the year after. I don't want to backflip again.
No backflipping. It's Alistair Clarkson on 360 last night, and a very interesting conversation about his future. He won't be coaching in 2022. Johnny Ralph was all over that from the Herald Sun and Fox Footy. Watch it all unfold. Hello, Ralphie.
Hello, gentlemen. Yeah, music to the ears of certainly Michael Voss, who's now the Carlton's clear preferred candidate. And if you're Stewie Jew, you're kicking the cat, aren't you? You're thinking, I might have some chance of even, you know, geeking out a 10-win season in 2022 and still keeping my job. And then you think to yourself, okay, so Alistair Clarkson is coaching in 2023. And not only that, but he says he wants to give something back to the game, and, you know, he's really enticed by that massive challenge. So, yeah, I mean, right now, I think the Michael Voss, you know, will be appointed this week by the Carlton Football Club. And you think to yourself, geez, I mean, everything stacks up that that Alistair Clarkson would be absolutely intoxicated by the challenge of Gold Coast. So, Stewie, you better play finals next year. Otherwise, there is a, you know, there's a probability, not a high probability, but there's a probability that the AFL will be pushing Alistair Clarkson towards the Gold Coast the year after next.
It is a fascinating situation, I reckon, now, because normally when there's coaching jobs up for grabs, and the Carlton one we're talking about here at the moment, like, it's all reports yesterday, Ralphie, it's Michael Voss's job, unless, of course, Alistair Clarkson says hello. And in normal times, that would be quite disrespectful. And that person who was the second candidate, so to speak, or the guy under Clarkson, you would think, well, what's the point of me? If you don't really want me, then why would I even apply for this? But is this part of the Alistair Clarkson mystique and aura and legacy and legend now that this is just going to be the situation with all coaches until such time as he's got a job? Clubs will keep looking to Alistair Clarkson to see if he wants one, and if he doesn't, we'll stick with what we've got. Is that what's going to happen from now on for the next 12 months?
No doubt about that. And the remarkable situation out of that is that Hawthorn very firmly were of the belief that they gave Alistair Clarkson everything that he wanted, everything on his whim, you know, salary cap issues. Well, let's bring in the likes of Jagger O'Meara and Chad Wingard and Tom Mitchell and anyone you want. They believed that they had a list that was mature, and yet despite that, they didn't win a final in the 5 years, you know, after that premiership. Now, he had won 4 premierships in 8 years, mind you. But Hawthorn very firmly were of the belief, we just think he's lost that aura. We just think that, you know, that we should have been a much better side than we were. Despite, you know, the emotional, you know, Clarko taking his top off and running around Marnica Oval and those extraordinary wins over teams like GWS. Yeah, you know, despite the fact that he masterminded, you know, so many second half comebacks, they said, you know what, we weren't much chop, and so that's one of the reasons that they moved him on. And yet, he's a super coach. You know, very few have won 4, let alone in the modern era, let alone in the three-peat. So, you know, I think he's approached that Lee Matthews mystique now, that if Clarko wants a job, in almost every circumstance, Clarko will get that job.
So, Ralphie, looking back on it now, and I know it's a hypothetical, and but I'm still going to ask it. Now that Carlton know that they can't get Clarkson, if they knew that 6 weeks ago, would David Teague still be coaching Carlton next year with the thought, well, we may look at it again the year after?
I think you can only definitively tell that question, answer that question if you've seen the review. But everyone I talk to that has been part of the review and have been instrumental in it says that they needed to have a harder edge, they needed to drive harder standards, they needed to have a high-performance culture, and David Teague wasn't going to get them there. So I think they would have removed David Teague, and I think that, you know, I think they were very keen to remove David Teague by halfway through the year, and that's why they instituted the report. And that's why Michael Voss, to them, you know, he's not an authoritarian, he's not a dictator, but he has what they believe is the DNA of someone who can, you know, front up to players and can, you know, demand that leadership. He can have tough conversations that potentially David Teague didn't, or he can have the level of respect that would earn that tough conversation, but the players will actually listen to it. You know, Teague went really hard at those players at times last year, but the players just didn't believe that he had an authentic relationship with them. And so, you know, he probably didn't get the results that he believed it might have. So, yeah, I think that David Teague would have been sacked even if they knew that Clarko wasn't going to get that role, because they probably were in love with Ross Lyon by that stage.
Yeah, true. I think the interesting thing, half with the Clarko situation now is, and I admire his honesty in saying, you know what, I reckon I want to go in 2023, is what happens in that time. Are we going to get a running commentary on,
absolutely,
is Clarko ready? What club was he going to go for? Is he going to get frustrated with being asked all the time, or does he have to go into hibernate for 12 months? How that all plays out will be interesting, because I believe firmly that it won't just be Gold Coast that will be the club that Clarko is linked to. I think he'll be linked to any club that's battling.
Well, that's what I'm saying before, that if you've got a coach who's out of contract or got a year to go and the club's struggling, the team's struggling, you'd be stupid. If you're the footy club and you don't ask Alistair Clarkson if he wants to get involved in that club, whatever it might be, then you're not doing your job.
That's right. So whether it's Ken Hinckley, whether it's Chris Scott, that the perception is that the Cats need to, you know, rebuild and go again because that era is over, or Ken Hinckley can't get this team to a grand final, all these sorts of things. Adam Simpson at West Coast, like, there's going to be so many options for Clarko if he wants it, because you can build a case whatever way you want to get Clarko to your football club.
And so I think it's really destabilising if you are a club that believes in your coach and has him out of contract until the end of next year. And so that's why I think we'll see some movement over the summer. So Leon Cameron, yeah, can you imagine, of course, you know, the discourse about that if they start 0-3 again. And so,
yep.
Look, I think David Matthews will extend Leon Cameron, you know, by, let's call it March. I've spoken to Adam Kelly over the last few months at Adelaide, and they love Matthew Nix and what he stands for, and so they'll extend him. Justin Longmuir, look, you know, we all believe they should have been a couple of wins better at times, you know, by the end of last year, but I've got no doubt that Justin Longmuir will be extended again. Yeah, the Chris Scott stuff is just, you know, absolutely intriguing. You know, Simon Lloyd, their football boss, has said to me, we're just waiting for Steve Hockle to get his feet under the desk, and, you know, then we'll have that conversation. But, you know, you see the exodus of assistant coaches. The more you hear about these young midfielders who just felt like, you know, as soon as we made a mistake, we're out of the midfield and danger, and so we're back in to save us. Yeah, you know, and that doesn't mean that the coach should get moved on, but I don't know. I think Chris Scott would probably feel undervalued. You know, imagine if Chris Scott had next year out of the game. Think of the clamouring for him by the end of, you know, 2022. You know, you think about Justin Lepich and his year out of the game, and, you know, he was a failed senior coach, let alone a premiership coach. So, you know, maybe Craig Kelly might just think, what's my play for Chris Scott if it is that he wants a year off and wants to invigorate himself? I still think the very likely outcome is that Chris Scott will re-sign, and they'll bring a few more kids in, and they'll still go for a flag, but... Yeah, it does shift the market.
It does. It's actually not a bad thing necessarily, half for coaches, because they'll demand now some security.
Yeah, well, if the clubs believe that they are the right people,
yeah,
then all it requires is some leadership and some time, and they'll sort out a new deal. I don't think there's any need to rush then. If you're the coach and you're a little bit jumpy, you'd be going, well, hang on a second, let's sort something out. But if you're comfortable, you just need some leadership and some stability, and you'll be fine.
The irony is, Ralphie, that when you look at Michael Voss going into Carlton, if you go all the way back, I reckon it was Dennis Pagan and Kevin Sheedy both lost their jobs, two icons of the game, because Essendon and Carlton were both keen on Michael Voss when he came out of the game. And in the end, he didn't go to either of those two clubs.
Yeah.
So Carlton will get their man, not just after going for Teague over Voss, but he actually goes further back.
Yeah, spot on, yeah. And the Teague stuff is really interesting. I mean, you know, there are different interpretations. You know, I think he probably felt after he missed out, look, you know, you were no chance to get it. You're a stalking horse. You know, he arrived in Melbourne on that Monday morning, I think it was, and all of a sudden the cameras knew where he was. And he probably thought, hang on, am I just being, you know, thrown out there as someone to show that we have a process, when everyone, of course, knows that, you know, David Teague was probably always going to get the job. But, you know, I think he probably had conversations, or others have had conversations with Chris Judd, who was part of that process, you know, since then. And he said, look, he was fantastic. You know, he was exactly what we needed. I think the best thing about them, if they do appoint him, and we believe that's the case, is they've gone past a couple of pretty poor interviews over the last few years at different you know, clubs that have vacant positions. He just hasn't interviewed that well. You know, I don't know whether he's fluffed his lines. You know, they've talked about his communication. But everyone that actually works with him, from players to staff to coaches, absolutely loves Michael Voss. And so, you know, you dig a bit deeper. You know, you get the people who actually work with him rather than, you know, one, call it an hour-long interview. And that's the meaningful stuff. And so, look, I think you'll make a fantastic fist of it. Yeah, we might talk about some trade stuff in a minute. He doesn't really want for anything as a player. Yes, there are clearly players who need to improve, and hopefully he'll be part of that. Their midfield strategy needs to improve, and, you know, we've seen what he's been able to do at Port Adelaide. You know, I just think he stacks up really well, and I think it's fantastic for all the coaches out there who have, you know, seemed to have failed the first time and get another crack at it.
Well, there's a couple of branches to this conversation, Ralphie. I mean, it's the assistance that Michael Voss might bring with him. There's some suggestion that Matty Scarlett could be coming across, that Nigel Appin might be a part of the deal, which means there's more exodus from Geelong. We know Corey Enright's going to the Saints and Matty Knights is going to West Coast, so there might be a whole sweep of changes at the Cats. And then, of course, David Teague found himself a job at the Tigers last night as an assistant.
That's correct, yeah, and he's going to be the forward coach there. Yeah, and I think every Richmond fan was just so thrilled to find that David Teague got himself back into the system. They probably were happy that he wasn't the defensive coach there, given the struggles, of course, that the Carlton Football Club has had. But, you know, I spent a lot of time, as you have as well, half with Tony Shaw. So Tony Shaw, you know, is sacked from a role that, you know, that he was probably not ill-equipped for, but probably just was a bit raw for, and we never saw him coaching again. You know, he talks about going out to watch his young son play, and he tried to coach him at times and encourage him, and he's, you know, bugger off, Dad. And, you know, it just felt like he was a failure as a coach across the whole landscape. You know, and we've seen so often now, you know, so many of these senior coaches, almost everyone, if they want to be a coach again in the system, they're able to be reintegrated. I think it's absolutely fantastic. Yeah, so the Tigers, you know, in all certainty will have him. They'll keep Adam Kingsley. They'll boost their football department. And look, I think some people out there might have thought, you know, was Damien Hardwick not off his tucker this year, but was he just flat? Was it too much? You know, were the marriage issues and the rumblings about, you know, his wife and or his new partner and whether she's accepted within Richmond? You know, was it just going to be one more year and then he might, you know, leave the Tigers himself? Richmond tells me he's so invigorated. You know, he's so excited to get players in like Robbie Tarrant. He's genuinely coaching the young kids really hard and has great plans for them. He's genuinely filthy that Callum Coleman-Jones has moved on. But as you said on AFL's Fox Footy, on AFL 360 last night, the young kids, they just want to play, Daniel. You know,
yes.
What's that like for a young kid where, you know, especially these young girls that come into the AFL landscape as well, they just say, well, why aren't I playing, you know, senior level football?
Well, they've got all the support through the journey to become AFL players. They have the opportunity when they get drafted and they don't want to wait. It's a very different environment. It's this now generation buzz. And clubs have fed this too, to an extent. They've looked for drafting players for the now and they don't tend to draft prospects anymore. They draft as ready-made a player as they can find. There's not too many guys that are happy to sit in the... They're happy to sit in the twos for the 2 or 3 years like they used to be. So the clubs have made a bit of this themselves, I must admit.
And I think, too, that Callum Coleman-Jones and his manager, Michael Dowdy, have made a smart decision. They've realised that he's probably not going to be the Jack Roo key forward that he might have thought a couple of years back. You know, he's a number 20 pick. He's had 4 years in the system. But he's probably better as that aggressive ruckman who can play 20% as a key position forward. And so, you know, that absolutely can happen at North Melbourne. You know, Todd Goldstein's probably got another 4 years in him, so it'll be interesting to see how they play him and how they integrate him. But, you know, clearly at Richmond, Ivan Soldo, who has subsequently signed a three-year deal, Toby Nankervis, you know, he's a bit like Josh Walker. You think he's 35, but he's only 26. Pardon me. So there just wasn't a path forward for him to play, you know, 150 games as a ruckman there, even if the Tigers felt like they played him pretty much every chance they could this year.
Yeah, I'm still not convinced he's going to be a champion, Callum Coleman-Jones.
No, I'm not either.
He's shown some bits, but he gets an opportunity. I wonder what that says for Jacob Edwards, the number one mid-season draft pick, the buzz.
I reckon he's probably 3 years away, you know, and that's the thing. I mean, he would have been a top 10 pick. And so I know that he was a number one pick in the mid-season draft, but I think, you know, clubs believe that he was about 10 to 12 if he had gone in the exposed pool, you know, in this November's draft. So, you know, he's a really raw kid. Charlie Conman's the other one who, you know, yeah, they have really high hopes for. You know, Cam Zerha, we know he's a different kind of forward there. You know, as I said, Goldstein's got a lot of development to go as well. I've spoken to Jason Horn Francis for an article in the next couple of days, who, of course, is the young kid who potentially still might go at pick one, but certainly will go to North Melbourne. You know, so exciting himself. I have not been as excited about an A-League play side with the capacity to not pop and not play finals next year. But, you know, so often these teams, you know, they win a priority pick. They're, you know, 4 or 5 years away from winning 8 games of footy. But you know, we just keep hearing from player agents, you know, the David Noble effect is real. You know, that you know, he's building an amazing plan there. You know, Josh Kelly probably would have had to have taken, I think, as the Roos have said, you know, one of the biggest pay cuts of all time to play there, but he genuinely was excited about it and in the end chose GWS. So, you know, if I was a Roos fan, and there aren't that many of them, I'd be really excited by the way they're building and how quickly they can improve next year.
On the trade situation, Hewitt to Carlton, that's been on the cards for quite a while, but is there much else sort of floating around at the moment?
Yeah, so the Hewitt stuff, as you said, has sort of been a supposition that, you know, Sydney probably won't want him. But, you know, I was able to confirm yesterday, yeah. So it's a four-year deal on about 400 or 450 for George Hewitt. You know, Sydney certainly won't match that, so we'll have to wait until a Friday after the grand final. But I think it's a really important piece for them. We know their defensive struggles there. You know, a bloke who's capable of 13 tackles in a final against GWS, you know, when the whoops were cracking there. The interesting one is the ruck merry-go-round. So no one's got any cash. So Peter Laddams has been told to basically explore his options despite a year on his contract at Port Adelaide. He's 23. He can play forward. He can potentially in a couple of years play as a first ruck. And yet no one's got any cash for him. So St Kilda wants a ruckman. You know, they want the cheapest chips. Brisbane wants a ruckman, like a $150,000 one. What about him to Geelong? You know, what about if they made, you know, tough decisions on Dalhouse and a few of those players? Gary Rowan's already re-signed, so is Rhys Stanley. You know, but what if they said, look, you know, Lachie Henderson, it's time for you to retire. You know, Dalhouse and potentially Sean Higgins as well. I'm sure there's a way in which they could create some cap space. Or you pay him, you know, that three-year deal with one of those years back-ended. Oh, I just think for Geelong, you know, to go into another season there with Rhys Stanley as your best ruckman, it just seems to me to be folly, given that Asava Radigalou is probably going to be more of a forward than a ruckman, you know, as his career unfolds.
Yeah, I agree.
I think he's a really attractive prospect. At 23, and what he's been able to do as a sidekick to this point, I'd be throwing some cash at him.
He's a classic example of someone that when he was given the number one role, if Lysette wasn't there, he did really well.
Mm.
But when Lysette was there, he just couldn't play that secondary role well. And most ruckmen are like that because he didn't quite have the tricks to play as that Luke Jackson type of forward. They've got to do something with the ruck Geelong.
I think that's... I'm surprised he's been pushed to the outer, Buzz. I must admit, when I read that in the paper this morning, I was surprised that he was one that might be on the block.
Yeah, and I think their methodology is that, you know, it's not that he's not a very good player, but we need to try and win a premiership. And so, you know, they've got ample cap space, so it's not really about cap space, but they want to bring in Jordan Dawson. They want to, you know, play Lysette as their first tall, and then they clearly want to play Dixon, Georgiadis and Marshall, and they just don't really see a role there for him. I think it's the third year of a deal that he's back-ended, so he'll be on, you know, reasonable money or you know, the biggest slice of money from that three-year deal. But it's not primarily about that. It's just to say that if you do want to play ruck, we can get something for you. Now, Jordan Dawson's probably going to be worth, I think, their first pick 16. Do you think Jordan Dawson, if he came to Port Adelaide, is about worth that? You know, maybe it's about getting another pick in rather than getting salary cap space out.
I reckon he might go to Adelaide, Dawson.
Yeah, and Port Adelaide genuinely have no idea about it. Like, they you know, as Chris Davies, their football boss, said yesterday, you know, every player who's come to us has improved. You know, it's a little bit cocky, which is fair enough as well. But, yeah, their feeling is that Adelaide needs to win. You know, they certainly lost on Araje Fantasia, having believed that, you know, he was likely to come to Adelaide last year. They were shocked when he went to Port Adelaide. So, you know, Adelaide have been really prudent. You know, they don't offer big deals. I just get the feeling this is one that Adelaide needs to win. You know, the perfect player for them to play wing and half forward, a lovely kick, you know, to feel it like they can improve. They keep saying they're only, I think it is, 39 games into an AFL rebuild. But I think there'll be some real pressure on Adelaide to say, OK, you've put a couple of years in, show us your improvement next year. And Jordan Dawson absolutely would, you know, would allow them would not only make them better, but would make the likes of Riley Philthorpe and Darcy Fogarty better with that beautiful left foot. I think it'd be a really smart acquisition. And if you have to pay $650 or
$700
for him, I think you just go out and get him.
That's a lot. But they do need it. They do need him, no doubt. Buzz, there's plenty of going on in the world of footy as always. Can't wait to find out what you've got for us very, very soon. I'll follow you on Twitter because I love your work on Twitter. But certainly read all your work in the Herald Sun and watch you on Fox Footy as well. We appreciate your time.
Thank you very much, gentlemen. Much appreciated.